Welcome to Benefit from the Bible, the Bible teaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. For a printed copy of this sermon and many others, go to BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, as we think about our mothers, they have been a great blessing to us. God has used them to bring us into the world. God has used them to protect us. God has used them to provide our needs and so much more. So as we think about what Dr. Luther wrote, may God help us to honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. As we turn today to Acts chapter 10 for our sermon text, we find ourselves in a place where we are in the Bible after Jesus has done his saving work. So now we are in the New Testament church, and yet we're in a very pivotal chapter, really in the entire Bible. If I think about the whole Bible, I think about the first 11 chapters basically focusing on the people in general who are in the world. Then we come to chapter 12 of Genesis, and we have the spotlight now on Abraham, and Abraham being the father of the Jewish people. So really from Genesis 12, all the way through the entire Old Testament, through the Gospels, through the book of Acts, through chapter 9, the focus really, for the most part, is on the Jewish people. But now we come, though, to Acts chapter 10, such an important chapter in that God is going to show that now the work that Jesus has done truly is for all people of all time. Now, we have glimpses of that all over the place in the Bible, but it becomes very clear here with what goes on in this chapter. Up to this point, people were following these food restrictions. Eat this food, don't eat this food. People were following people restrictions. Associate with these people, don't associate with these people. These things are all about to be gone from Acts chapter 10 going forward. We find Peter. And in chapter 10 here, he is in the home of a God-fearing Gentile. And normally he wouldn't even be in that home, but God has given him a vision. God has compelled him to go and to be there in that place. So it's unusual for Peter even to be there, but he's following the will of God for his life. We pick up here now where Peter is about to open his mouth and tell Cornelius, his family and his close friends who are gathered about Jesus. So picking up in verse 34, the Bible says, "So Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him.'" So God shows no partiality. God shows no favoritism. In other words, God is not prejudiced. We live in a world of great prejudice today, but God is not prejudiced. God is even with everyone. It doesn't matter what language people speak, doesn't matter what their skin color is, doesn't matter what their ethnicity is, God is impartial. So how should we be then as Christians? Is it right for us to be partial or prejudiced? Well, the Bible says that we are to be imitators of God. So let us be like God. Let's remember that God has made the human race, so we don't distinguish amongst the human race. We know that Jesus died for every member of the human race. So as he did that, God calls us to love the entire human race, to care about them, to know that Jesus died for them, and to share the good news with them, no matter who they might be. It talked in here about every nation who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. So what does it mean to fear God? One way we could put it would be to fear God is to have a healthy reverence of him so that we respect him and his word. When it comes to mothers who are God-fearing mothers, I believe that's the way they are. So they do have this reverence for God. They have this reverence for the word of God. So what do God-fearing mothers do then? In regard to their children, they are taking the Bible and they're teaching their children about God's work of creation, how God is an awesome, awesome God. We live in an amazing world. They're teaching their children about God's work of redemption, how he sent his son to die for our sins, teaching them how God is a loving God. Even though we are sinners, God loved us that much. And how God is also one who supplies all that we need. So that means God is a caring God. God is aware of our needs. He takes action. He opens his hand and satisfies the desires of every living thing. So what is the noticeable result of fearing God? You know, people could go around saying, hey, I fear God, or I'm a God-fearing Gentile. But God wants us to know that when that is true on the inside, there's going to be a noticeable result on the outside. In Psalm 111:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding. So it's talking about those who are mature in fearing the Lord. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. So again, we don't do them to get something, but rather because of the right relationship we have with the Lord. Now the result is that we want to do his commandments. For God-fearing mothers, what a great, great blessing to their children. So God-fearing mothers, they know they're sinners. They're sorry for their sins. They know they are forgiven through Jesus, and they are now ready to function in such a way that they can be a great, great blessing to their children. Now we turn the focus to Jesus as Peter is in the home of Cornelius. He's continuing what he's saying, and he's going to tell them about Jesus' ministry, about his death and resurrection, and then about the importance that Peter and others would proclaim this message to the entire world. So we pick up now in verse 36. As for the word that God sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. Let me pause there for a moment and go back a little bit. In parenthesis, talking about Jesus Christ, it says that he is Lord of all. See, up to that point, people were thinking, oh, he is Lord of the Jews, not of the Gentiles. But now we have this change. He is Lord of all. God wants us to take note of that. Also, too, when it comes to these Gentiles, Cornelius was a God-fearing Gentile. So with as much as he knew about God, he was trusting in God. He was fearing God. He was reverencing God. But he didn't know, though, all the details about Jesus. He had kind of heard some things about Jesus, but he really didn't know it. And maybe what he had heard wasn't quite all true. So what great blessing does he have now? He has Peter, an eyewitness to Jesus, right there in his own home to bring him the very truth about our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great blessing. And then looking at verse 38, you can see how that points to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. So it's talking there about his baptism when the Holy Spirit came down upon him. Then it talked about what he did in his ministry with doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, and so on. That's what he went about doing. So Peter said, this Jesus, I was there with him, and he had an amazing, amazing ministry. And then Peter goes on and says, basically, let me tell you what happened now. There was a turn in his ministry that none of us really saw coming, even though he told us about it, and it went like this. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who have been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. So when Peter says that they did it, I think he's talking about the Jews who initially arrested Jesus and put him on trial a number of times, and then probably also to the Romans who actually went through with the horrible way Jesus was put to death. So by hanging him on a tree, well, even though our cross here is not made out of wood, we understand that that was a tree that made the cross. So when he was hung on a tree, to the Jews, that is a stumbling block that the very Messiah would be hung on a tree. They would say to be hung on a tree means you are literally cursed by the Almighty God. And the Jews would say there's no way the Messiah would ever be literally cursed by God. But what is the amazing thing, though? The amazing thing is that Jesus knew that we were cursed because we are sinners. So he knew that the only way to remove our curse is for him to be cursed in our place. So literally, he was cursed by God. That's why he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So he was literally cursed by God, but because he was, now that has been removed from us. We are so, so very blessed. And then we see how Peter talks here about how God chose certain ones that would see him risen from the dead. Not everyone, but certain ones. And those certain ones could tell then, they could say, hey, I saw him. I saw him die. I saw him alive. Really, truly, he died. Really, truly, he is alive. But what about God-fearing mothers? They have been chosen to believe in Jesus as Savior. They have been granted the gift of children, and therefore they have been chosen in order to impart this bad news of sin and this good news of Christ to their children. A very important role of God-fearing mothers, God-fearing parents. And then we see the proclamation of the word. Peter went on to say, Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So Jesus, he has been appointed as judge. The Bible tells us that the day has already been set when he will come. We don't know the day, but the day has been set. Acts 17, verse 31, it says, God has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, and Jesus Christ is that man. God wants us to know the day has been set, and on that day, God wants us to know it's going to be wonderful for all who know him. It's going to be horrible for those who don't. But most of all here in this chapter, the point of it is that Jesus did what he did for everyone so that all who believe in him, all who receive him, they have the benefits of what he did. They have the forgiveness of their sins. They have the gift of salvation. And then we come to the final part here, as we come to the noticeable evidence that salvation is for everyone. So leading up to this, keep in mind that Peter, he was separated from certain foods. He was separated from certain peoples. God gives him the vision. He goes to the home of Cornelius. And now he has proclaimed the message about Jesus. And yet, Peter still hasn't visibly seen that God has brought the Gentiles in to the kingdom yet. He's about to see it now. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised, that is from among the Jews who had come with Peter, were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling or praising God. Normally the Holy Spirit is invisible. We can't see him. So the Holy Spirit made himself visible, or maybe I should say he made himself audible as Peter was able to hear these Gentiles speaking in tongues that they did not know. So God was confirming that in fact salvation is for everyone. Another thing to note here is that Peter was speaking the word and then we hear the Holy Spirit. God doesn't just work anywhere. Now, could he? Certainly he could. We believe God has chosen to work through his word. So Peter is proclaiming the word, the Spirit is working through the word, and then we hear him speaking through these Gentiles. So it's always important that we have regular contact with God's holy word. And then we see their baptism. So Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" You kind of wonder if he paused there for a moment, having heard no objections. The Bible says he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. The great blessing that Peter was in having brought the truth to them and then being baptized into Christ, they definitely wanted him to stay even longer. Another thing I note here is with their baptism, sometimes in the book of Acts, we're looking for a pattern as to how this all works with faith and the Holy Spirit and baptism and so on. It's difficult to find a real clean pattern in the book of Acts, but God wants us to know that we shouldn't get all caught up in having to have it be a certain particular way. God wants us to know that he can do anything and that God is at work through his word. God is calling us to believe. God is imparting the Holy Spirit. Baptism is important. So sometimes if it's a little bit different than what we see as a regular pattern, we can still know that God is at work in a powerful way. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it has these words in regard to baptism. It says, "They were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we take possession of it." So we have God's promise that in Christ we have heaven. And then God has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that in Christ we have heaven. God wants us to know, though, that there are wonderful, wonderful things yet to come, and he wants us to know that we have them in Christ, and we have the guarantee with the Holy Spirit. He wants us to be confident. So in closing today, are God-fearing mothers important to their children? Fathers are important, too. Let's make sure the fathers take a very important role in the lives of their children. Sometimes they don't. But think about God-fearing mothers, though. I think they're very instrumental in children being baptized into Christ, very important in teaching them the Bible, very important in bringing them to Sunday school, very important in teaching them the catechism. And all this time, what is so important for God-fearing mothers? It is so important that they are modeling to their children what it means to be a Bible-believing Christian. I invite you to join me here in a short prayer as we conclude. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for blessing us with God-fearing moms. We pray for your blessing that you would draw all mothers around the world, draw them to you, grant them the gift of salvation, fortify them with your holy word, and then use them to be a special, powerful, and eternal blessing to their children. And all God's people said, Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, give us a try at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma, Ohio. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, study at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. These are other ways to connect with us. Visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. Subscribe to our podcast by searching for Benefit from the Bible. Visit us on Facebook by searching for Bethlehem Lutheran Church Parma. Call us at 440-845-2230. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.